Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, folks? It's your boy, Long Beach Joe, back at it again. And it is time to talk about the Jets versus Rams game that we have coming up. Boy, oh boy, are we in some serious business right here. This is a Rams team that really gets after it. I'm talking about they're a very good football team. They have a lot of weapons. They can put up points. That defense is solid too. And this Jets team is struggling at times right now. So we got to get it together. We really, really do. But before we go ahead and get into it, listen, I'm the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. So without further ado, folks, let's go ahead and get into the show. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I'm hyped. Salute to everybody, watching and listening as well. Salute to everyone in the chat. Salute to all the savages in the chat. Alex, salute to you, my friend. We're going to go ahead and get into it, man. This is going to be a very, very tough game the Jets have coming up. This Rams team is serious, man, serious. And they're a team that's competing. They're 9-4 right now. They're fighting. You know, they're trying to continue to push, make a push for their playoff spot. So it's quite a bit to talk about, man, quite a bit to talk about. But before we get into the game, here on the Long Beach Joe Show, everyone knows we're very big on doing whatever we can to help our community, very big on charity, very big on doing whatever we can to help others out. So this year, yet again, we've partnered with the Mark V. Lee Toy Drive, ran by Mark V. Lee. So we're going to have Mark come on. He's going to talk to us a little bit just about the Toy Drive and how they're impacting the community. Mark, I want to welcome you to the Long Beach Joe Show. How are you doing today, my friend?
Joe, doing great, buddy. Well, like always, thank you for having me, pal.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to have you on again. Now, I want to start. Can you give my listeners some background on the Mark V. Lee Toy Drive, how you got started, and what you folks do?
Yeah, so back in 85, you know, a long time ago, my father, Mark V. Lee Sr., started the Christmas drive. You know, he was a fireman in Jersey City. He just saw a couple of local kids in the neighborhood. And it just grew from there, you know, and it just became a citywide thing. And in 2014, he passed away due to 9/11 related illnesses. And me and my mom took it over from then on. And, you know, the year that he passed, he took care of about a little over 2,000 unfortunate kids in Jersey City. And last year, me and my mom, after taking it over and her drive and the way that she got it out there, is we were up to 8,000 kids that we took care of last year.
Wow. I'm always really blown away by the numbers. I mean, 8,000, that's quite a bit there, Mark. You're really impacting the community.
No.
You're really doing what it, you know, what it takes to change these kids' Christmases around, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It's just one of those things where, you know, you don't like to see it, but it is out there. You know, holidays can be tough for a lot of families, especially, you know, this year with the virus and a lot of people out of their jobs. So we're just kind of doing our part, you know, to make sure that a lot of these families have a Christmas this year. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And again, I want to thank you for doing all that you do there with the Toy Drive. Mark, can you tell us just a little bit about some of the hurdles that you face putting this Toy Drive together? Because, you know, some people may think that it's easy, or some people think it's, you know, there's a lot of different things going on. What are some of the difficulties that you face when putting everything together?
Yeah, so in years past, you know, we kind of had the system that we had where, you know, we do like Boys and Girls Club, we do different schools and different outreach programs and just cater to different areas in the neighborhood, you know, and then the coronavirus hit and everything was shutting down. So a lot of these indoor facilities and schools and a lot of different things were closed. So it was a little stressful kind of, you know, figuring out a plan of attack here to kind of get this thing going, get it off the ground this year. We linked up with Toys for Tots and a company, DonateAToy.org, to kind of go virtual. And I sent those links out on my Facebook page and Instagram, and the response has been unbelievable. And what they did was, once you donate a toy off those websites, Toys for Tots actually matched that one for one. And I'm telling you, it's been unbelievable. You know, we received a ton of generous donations from everybody. And, I know you guys helped a lot, and I can't thank you enough, Joe, for your support. And the Jet fan base, man, you guys are really reaching out, man. These guys from all over the country, you know, coming in, and I see the names, and I see the locations of where they're coming from, and I really appreciate it. But, it's been tough, you know. It's not easy kind of taking what you know and then trying to make it happen a whole, you know, totally different way. So we just kind of set up in different areas all through Jersey City, kind of like a grab-and-go style, you know, and had the families come down, and we've been blessed with the weather. We did get hit the other day with the snow, but luckily it wasn't over the weekend here. So we just wrapped up a little while ago our drive that we had today. We have our last one tomorrow at the Mary Bethune Center in Jersey City. So if anybody's in the area and wants to come down, drop off a toy, or just come and hang out, man, and watch these kids grab a toy and light up. It's I'm telling you, it's something that makes you feel good, just making sure that these kids get a Christmas, man. It really is something.
Exactly, and that's what it's all about. And again, Mark, I want to thank you for everything that you folks are doing. You're talking about, you know, all the challenges that you face there. And, you know, a lot of people are just looking at this situation like, man, these kids, again, would probably not have a Christmas, especially, like you said, with all the other things going on with the Roro and everything that we have floating and going on around right now. A lot of people are really struggling, you know, to figure out where they're going to get their next dollar from. And you folks have, you know, continuously been able to put together something to really give these kids, you know, to really light up their life and light up their faces, like you said, when you see these presents. So that's huge. But can you also give my listeners kind of an exact place where they can donate? Because I know we talked about in the past about them going to Jersey City Fire Department, dropping off toys. Can they still do that? What can they do, and how can they get involved? Can they volunteer their time as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, you want to volunteer your time tomorrow in the Jersey City area at the Mary Bethune Center on MLK. We're going to be out there from 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want to just stop in, you're more than welcome to. If you want to donate, you're more than welcome to pick up a toy and drop it off to any firehouse in Jersey City. If you want to send a monetary donation, the address is at our fire headquarters. That's at 365 Marin Boulevard in Jersey City, 07302. All proceeds, and I'm completely transparent where all this stuff goes. So come on down or donate a toy, like I said, any firehouse. And, I greatly appreciate it. I really do. Because without, you know, you guys and the support from the community, we wouldn't be able to make this thing happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you know, here on the Long Beach Joe Show, we'll continue to support you as well, Mark. Everyone listening, everyone watching as well, because I live stream during my radio show. Listen, you go to any of my social media, too. The link is plastered there, too. You can click on it really easy. Go ahead, you know, place your donations as well. I also put Mark's social media there too, so you can contact him directly as well. And, you know, talk about things you may want to send, or, you know, any way that you can help too, so you can get involved there. But Mark, with that put to the side, you know, we're both Jets fans, sadly.
Joe, my heart.
Sadly, we both are.
My heart. I can't do it anymore, buddy.
Dude, it's so tough. I want to talk to you about these Jets. I don't want to talk to you about these Jets, but I want to talk to you about these Jets. Oh, my God. Mark, tell me what was going through your mind when you heard Adam Gase said that he's failed Jets ownership. What were your thoughts about that?
No crap. No crap you failed the ownership. No crap that you failed Sam Darnold. No crap that you failed this Jets team. You know, you haven't done anything. And finally, now it's starting to come out, I think, a little bit, because he's starting to take accountability, because I think he realizes that he's not going to be here in the next three games.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All season long, he's kind of giving you roundabout answers, and he's putting blame in different directions and stuff. And, you know, now he realizes, like, he's on his way out the door. So, you know what, let me start being accountable here now that we only got three games left. It's hard to respect that guy, to be honest with you.
Man, I never wanted him hired. Go ahead.
you know, you never want to see anybody fired. You know what I mean? You know, people that have families and stuff like that. Like, you never want to see that aspect of it. You know what I mean? But that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, if he was man enough to admit all season long to take the blame as the head coach of this football team, you know, I would have gave him a little bit more respect. But at the end of the day, he deflected and he said Sam and you know, he
yep.
put all, you know, on other people. Everyone except himself.
Yeah.
And now with only a few games left because he knows that the door is shut, you know, he's now starting to take accountability for some of his actions and some of his mistakes here. And, you know, it's just a little too late in my book.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you. When you look at,
you know,
another situation, you know, we got these Rams coming up in this situation with, you know, the season continuing. But we're getting Mims back this week, man. That's one thing I'm excited about. What are your thoughts about him, and what do you expect out of him in this football game, you know, after coming off of missing a week?
Yeah, I believe he had something going on with a family matter as far as why he missed the game, right? So it wasn't injury related. So I expect him to kind of pick up right where he left off. And what he's been doing so far, I love it. I love to see it. You know, the production's there. You know, he's getting separation. You know, he's doing everything that you expect a rookie to do or what you want to see from a rookie. You know, so I got high expectations for him. And, you know, I know he's going to be – I don't know, maybe you think Ramsey's going to shadow him? I'm not sure if he's going to be over on Terryman. But I'd like to see how he does if that matchup does come about, because you got the one of the best corners in the league in Ramsey on the other side. So if he can get a little preparation and make a couple plays here this week, I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to be stoked for the next year or a few years coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right, and that was a great point. Now, you know, I'm going to talk about that as the show continues on as well. Like you said, he's going to be, you know, possibly matched up against some people say he's the best corner, one of the best corners, whatever. I have him up there as well in the game, you know. So we're going to see how you perform against one of these top corners. But, again, he's a rookie, but we want to see how you fare because, again, there's a lot of, you know, stiff competition. We got great players, you know, great corners in our division that he's going to have to face up against as well, too, you know, continuously throughout the rest of his career. So it's going to be interesting to see how this matchup happens. But listen, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on, man. I really, really do love everything you do. Before you go, can you please give my listeners, again, all the directions to just getting involved in your charity and how they can donate and where they can give their time?
Absolutely. So, once again, if you want to send any monetary donations, it's going to be at our fire headquarters at 365 Marin Boulevard in Jersey City, New Jersey. That's 07302. If you're just in the area passing by, you want to pick up a toy or in the neighborhood, drop them off to any of the firehouses that, you know, they know the drive well and they know where to get the toys to. Also tomorrow, if you're in the area, we'll be at the Mary Bethune Center on MLK from 9 o'clock in the morning to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Stop in, say hello, you know, hand out some toys with us and, you know, see what we do firsthand here. And, you know, Joe, I say, man, every week and, you know, every time I get a chance to talk to you, I really appreciate you supporting this drive. And I always look forward to talking to you, buddy.
Absolutely. And again, Mark, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing, man. That means a lot to help these kids out and give them a solid Christmas, especially with all that we have going on. That means a lot to them. That's going to impact their lives extremely, extremely heavily. So, again, I want to thank you for all you do, man. So, thank you for coming on, Mark, and I want you to have a good night, my friend.
Likewise, pal. Enjoy the rest of the show, man. And, you know, go Jets. The future's bright for us. Let's go.
We had nowhere to go but up, huh?
Not this year, but soon, right?
Yeah. All right, you have a good night, Mark.
All right, Joe. See you later, pal.
Oh, Mark V. Lee of the Mark V. Lee Toy Drive. Listen, they're doing phenomenal things over there. You know, that drive, everything they're doing for children, everything they're doing, you know, with getting these kids gifts. Please, if you can donate, you know, get involved. Again, you know, he talked about all the places where you can go. You can still, you know, give a toy to those, you know, fire departments in Jersey. But again, you can go to my social media and the link to the drive is on there. You can click that and donate all that you like. It's greatly appreciated. Anything you can do, no matter how small, I'm telling you, is greatly appreciated by those children. So again, I want to thank everyone that just gets involved in that either way. And I want to thank Mark V. Lee for coming on and talking to us about the drive. No, listen, Now it's time. The time has come to talk about the Jets. All right. It's time to talk about it. You know, listen, Yang, I know that the team sucks. You ain't got to tell me. Okay. I know we're in a bad spot right now. People aren't necessarily super positive about this team we got, you know, coming up with the Rams. This is a tough LA team. I mean, they come out and they fire on all cylinders. They got a great head coach, you know, that definitely can draw up things offensively, and they will put you away. And so, you know, the Jets have to come out with some fire. And we've got to start early. And I got a couple callers in. I'm going to get to you folks as well in a second. Salute again to all the savages in the chat, man. Matt Curtis, Sir Tunes, Angel Reed, Portway, Alex Patterson, Niger. Yo, salute to y'all, man. Salute to all of you. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining. I see a bunch of other people as well. Salute to everybody. This is going to be a tough matchup, a really, really tough matchup. This Rams team can get after it. I'm very worried about them offensively. You look at the situation they have. Their running backs, to me, you know, they run the ball pretty, pretty tough. They really, really do. You know, Brown, Henderson, all these guys that they got, and some of these guys as well can come out the backfield and catch the football. And I'm very worried about that, especially with some of the issues that we're having, the injuries that we have on this football team. You got Jordan Jenkins going down with a shoulder issue. He's going to be on IR. They're saying he's going to have shoulder surgery, so he's going to be done for the rest of the season. Fadu Kassi, you know, he's on the Roro list. You know, they're saying he had contact with someone that may have the Roro, so he's going to be out as well, so he's not going to be playing. So, you know, that's going to hurt us on defense in particular. And you look at that situation there, our linebacking core is pretty thin. You know, you got Neville Hewitt, Lange. We're pretty much down to like five backers at this point. I think they're going to have Neville Hewitt playing outside linebacker because Jordan Jenkins is gone. I mean, it's going to be tough. We're getting some guys back, though. Mims is coming back. Thicken is coming back as well. We'll see what, you know, if that kind of settles our kicking issues. P. Ryan is supposed to be back, but I know that there was a lot of reports kind of up and down whether he would play this week or not. So we'll see what happens with that going forward. But him coming back would be very solid for us if he does play this week. You know, he might give us a boost of running back, but who knows? They might continue to stuff him behind Frank Gore. We've heard Adam Gase talk about how he's not interested in, you know, sitting Gore to figure out what these younger backs have. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous over here, but we've got to make sure, you know, that if we're going to go out and compete against this Rams team, we've got to bring it, and we got to come out early. We got to be ready to go, you know, because again, you come out sluggish against the Rams, they will put you away early. And my big thing for us offensively is we have to start fast. You have to come out and you have to find a way to get the ball out of Sam Darnold's hands quickly. You cannot let Aaron Donald, Brocker, all those guys that they have, Floyd, these pass rushers they have, you cannot let them just completely destroy Sam Darnold in this football game. You can't let that happen. You can't let that happen. You got to run the football effectively. Again, if P. Ryan is going to be back, if he actually does play in this game, you got to get him the football. You've got to find some ways to get, you know, chip down on those early downs to where if you get to third down, it's third and two, third and one, something like that. You can't come in here and have third and tens against this football team, against this defense, and think that you're going to have a great level of success, especially when we talked about Patrick Ramsey. Like, we got to get it together, man. We got to get it together. You know what I'm saying? Because Jalen Ramsey. You do not want to attack Jalen Ramsey constantly. So you got to find a way to chip it down on early downs and get the ball out of Sam Darnold's hands quickly. Mims being back, I know that Crowder is still dealing with some calf stuff as well, so we'll see, you know, how he performs too with those calf injuries. You know, and Perryman as well, we got to take some deep shots. We got to see what we can do offensively. We got to keep them honest. We got to let them know, yeah, we're not a great football team, but we'll take it at you if we really need to. You know what I'm saying? Defensively, I'm a little worried as well. I'm worried. And I'm worried because this offense, outside of just their running game, they got some great wide receivers. Cooper Kupp, Woods. I mean, these guys get after it. Like, they're going to test our secondary. And I'm a little worried about our corners. Bless Austin, been very up and down. Hall, who looks like he can, you know, like he has something. But again, he's young, inexperienced. We've seen him get dusted before by solid wide receivers. So we got to see, you know, we've got to see what situations he's going to be put in. And he's going to be tested again for this week. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see what happens going forward. I don't want us to get too blitz happy. I think we will get cooked out the building if we do that, especially with the situations that we have. But, you know, this is going to be quite a test for our secondary. Absolutely. It's going to be a test. Again, you got Farley starting out there at you know, the safety spot along with Marcus May. And another thing that really scares me about the Rams as well, when you talk about Marcus May, you talk about our safeties, even our linebackers being hurt, that tight end position they have, they got some playmakers there too. Higbee's a playmaker. We've seen them, you know, throw the ball to Everett in the pass as well. He's a playmaker too. And these are guys that they use quite often in their scheme. So it's not going to be like, oh, this is going to be just Jets specific. No, Sean McVay draws it up, man. So we've got to make adjustments in this football game as well for what they're going to do offensively. We're going to see. We're going to see, you know, what's going on. So I'm kind of giving you my little spiel before I get to the callers. I definitely want to discuss this with everybody, you know, on the line. So we're going to get there. So first caller I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to my guy, Elias, man. Elias, I'm coming to you. Welcome to the show, my friend. I hope you're having a good day. I want to first, before we get into game, I want to get your thoughts on Adam Gase saying that he let ownership down. How do you feel about that, my friend?
Hey, Jay, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm all right. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious, Adam, but, yeah, I'm glad he admitted it. But that pretty much makes it 100% he's getting fired, which I always, you know, believe he's getting fired no matter what. But yeah, you can't stay after an 0-16 year with the, you know, a 32nd ranked offense for back-to-back years. But that pretty much just cements it for me. But yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. I'm glad to hear him say that because it seems like ownership are the only people who actually believe in the guy. And so that he's saying that he let them down, I don't know, makes me happy because you obviously did. So.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't just let ownership down. He let Sam Darnold. He let everybody down. The offense, the fan base, everything. There was a whole lot of talking, and he does that all the time where he does a lot of talking during the offseason where he gets people pumped up for a lot of different stuff, and then we get to, you know, the regular season, and we don't see any of the things that he promised us. You know, I remember he was running that two-back set when we had Ty Montgomery and Bilal Powell here, and he was telling us that he was going to run that during the season. We didn't see any of that stuff. So
never happened.
You know, it just never happens. But going into this game, you know, because I can go on with Gase all day, but going into this game, starting with the offense, what are your expectations of Darnold this week? Do you think that the offensive line will protect him enough to give him time to be able to make plays, man? Do you think he'll be able to maybe score a touchdown, two touchdowns, something like that? What do you think the stats are looking like for him?
Not very good, honestly. He went up against an awful Seattle defense and played like crap, and he's going off a top five defense in the Rams. And you got Aaron Donald, which that's going to be, like Donald said, it should be fun, as he said in a press conference. But, yeah, I'm not really expecting much. Maybe one touchdown, one interception, two interceptions. I don't even know, man. But, I don't have high expectations. You know, Mims is coming back, but he's not really because he's getting covered by the best corner in football probably. So, you know, Perryman's inconsistent. I don't think there's been a week he hasn't ended up on the injury report. And I don't know if Crowder's going to play. So, and then your boy Herndon, I don't think he'll be too good. That's kind of it.
My boy Herndon. I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't expect nothing out of Chris Herndon.
Well, who does? That's your
I
boy,
don't expect
man.
Nothing out of Herndon. No, dude. Let's move on. Don't get me started on Herndon. I remember literally telling people, until he shows us something, don't be trying to sit here and talk about how great this guy's going to be. He's going to be our Travis Kelce. He's done nothing. He came in this year and did absolutely nothing. And I've been, you know, very disappointed with him. But just staying with the offense and everything that you talked about, you know, with Mims and Darnold and the struggle that they may have, don't you think an effective running game will really help us? How effective do you think we'll be able to run the football against the Rams, man? I mean, we got some backs that can make some moves. Do you think they'll be utilized correctly?
Probably not because it'll be the Frank Gore show again. And I guarantee you it's going to be like the Cincinnati game all over again where Gase is running him straight at Aaron Donald this time. That's going to be A-gap dives for days straight at Aaron Donald. Can't wait.
Oh, I remember that game. I was furious. I could not believe that he was doing that. But that, you know, that would be an Adam Gase call football game. I mean, it'd be completely ridiculous, man. But do you think that we should avoid throwing to Ramsey at all costs? Like, should we just stay away from him throughout the game at all? So we should never just go at him whatsoever?
No, like, if Mims is experiment's open, then yeah. But you got to – if you're Sam Darnold, you got to make sure there's a good amount of separation there. You know, it's Ramsey's ball skills and, you know, comfortability. You got to – you just got to – I'm not going to say, like, oh, the game plan is this. Don't target him at all. If he gets burned, he gets burned, and you target him. But I would definitely try to avoid it if he's covered.
Yeah. I'm a guy that looks at it like this, you know. I mean, if he's, like you said, if he's there and you got to, you know, make the throw, I would definitely go at him from time to time, but I wouldn't make it a habit. He's not a guy that I think you want to continue to throw the footballs in his direction.
Yeah, don't force it.
But I
do not force it.
Go ahead.
Don't force it. Like, don't make dumb decisions.
Yeah, that exactly. And I think that's big. But going to our defense, I'm a bit worried about that as well. When you look at our linebacking core, Jordan Jenkins, he's on IR now. We're down pretty thin at backer. How concerned are you about that going into this football game?
Yeah, it won't be too pretty. I remember linebackers, especially inside linebackers, supposed to be our position of strength this year. So seeing how many guys have gone down, opted out, gotten traded, that's pretty wild. But, yeah, I like their running game a lot. They kind of run like a RB committee set, which I'm kind of all about nowadays. I think that's a really good way to, you know, future the NFL, in my opinion. But, yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Luckily – And they got, you know, two solid tight ends, so it should get interesting, man. I'll say that.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at as well. I look at the situation there, and like you said, the two solid tight ends they have, Higbee and Everett, those guys can move. You get the football in their hands, and they can really make an impact on this football game. So I don't know what we're going to do there. Neville Hewitt is probably going to be playing outside linebacker at this point. It's going to be tough. But when you go to our front line as well, with Fadokasi being out with the Roro, do you think Nathan Shepherd will be able to come in and give us some quality snaps? Are you concerned about our defensive line getting manhandled and abused out there without Fadokasi, one of our better defensive linemen?
Yeah, it should be interesting. Hopefully there's, you know, a good rotation going on there. Get, you know, Kyle Phillips, Nathan Shepherd involved well. Maybe get Zuniga, I know they've been playing him a bit on the inside. He's kind of been invisible, so I hope he plays well. But, Foley's a great player, so we're definitely going to miss him this week on the, you know, the Roro list, as you call it. But, that linebacker, now that I'm thinking about it, like, edge rusher line, but that's going to be a disaster this week. Jesus.
Yeah. It's just tough, man. But so many guys going down and things just not going the way that we would think this season. It is what it is. But my final question before I let you go is, with Ficken coming back, do you think our issues at kicker will resolve themselves? How are you feeling about that? Are you confident in this guy, you know, coming back and being healthy and be able to make the kicks that we need him to make?
Absolutely not, but it's good for the tank, so I'm happy about it. He's terrible, though.
Give me your final score prediction, my friend, for this game, the Jets game against the Rams.
35-7.
Ooh, 35-7. I respect it. All right, Elias, I got to keep going, man. I got quite a bit of callers, man. I want to thank you for calling in, my friend. It was good to speak to you. You have a good night.
Absolutely, man. Only three left.
All right, have a good one. Whew, man, Elias calling in and just telling the truth. It is what it is. It's tough right now. It's really tough with this football team, the way that we're looking. So many guys going on IR, guys getting injured, just issues upon issues, you know. You look at the situation again with Fadokasi, he's out this week. We got to depend on Nathan Shepherd, you know, a host of other guys, Uniga, so on and so forth. And this is a week where maybe, again, we're going to see the impact of Quinnen Williams be much needed, because we're going to be hurting. If the Rams get their running game going, oh, it's going to be tough. It is going to be extremely tough, especially when they're able to work the play action off of their running game too. I mean, it sucks. So I'm going to keep going to these callers, but I'm going to go to my chat really quickly. I'll call my chat the Savages. If this is your first time watching me, or first time listening to me, excuse me, on Blog Talk Radio, I also live stream while I do my radio show. So I have my folks in the chat. I call them the Savages. Why? Because they're savage. They remain savage. They don't stop, man. You know what I'm saying? So Savage is in the chat. Jamal Damon in the chat. Salute to you, Jamal. Jamal says the Rams also work play action. They're also a play action team. So if those safeties are trash, they will get beat. That's a fact. That's a fact. If the Rams can bring you down, suck you down into, you know, that play action, it's going to be tough. It's going to be extremely tough because let me tell you, you bite on that, especially if they're running well, you bite on that play action, they'll hit you for something deep. And it's always Cooper Kupp, Woods, even Reynolds, the other wide receiver that they have. They will burn you on the back end. Absolutely. Man, it's going to be a tough, tough game against these Rams. And we're going to have to step up. So salute to everybody in the chat. I'm going to get back to these callers really quickly. I'm going to go to 862. 862, I'm going to come to you. I want you to give me your thoughts on this Jets game, you know, against this Rams football team. How are you feeling about the Jets going into this game? And do you think that the Jets will be able to slow down the Rams running game?
Absolutely not. I want to tell you that my wife told me she loves your enthusiasm, and I want you to know that every Sunday she makes me watch. She says, you got to be a Jets fan all the way through. And every week she says, you're wrong. And I'm right. So I love you, Joe. I love you. So let's get down to this game.
Well, thank you so much.
This is the most one-sided game we're going to see over the next 3 weeks. And that's considering what happened in Seattle. You're totally positive. I love that. So I want to shout that out to you. But no, this is going to be a one-sided affair. I'm going with your prior caller, 35-7, 40-13, yeah, if we're lucky. Because okay. I was talking to her about this before the show, and she told me, you got to call in tonight. And it was because she was telling me, you got to call in, got to call in, because she heard our last mm-hmm. interaction. The thing that gets to me is our best player is not lined up against Aaron Donald. Back in the day, we had Nick Mangold or Kevin Mowai or even Joe Fields.
Yeah.
They were great yep. centers. The Jets are known for great centers. We have a history
yep.
of this. And we're going against the best nose tackle in the league. If I were the Jets, this is the way I would try to win this. I would line up 9 guys on the line of scrimmage. And I would do very similar to what Bill Parcells did in the 1990 season, of course, a former Jet coach, when Phil Simms was down and our number one running back, Rodney Hampton, was down. Just line them up and go for 3.5 yards a play and push forward.
Oof.
And always push forward behind Becton. And we would go 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, and run the ball like 40 times. That's the only way we're winning this game.
Wow.
That's the only way.
I mean,
and
yeah, first off, I want to thank you, you know, for calling in. And again, I want to thank your wife, for, you know, very, very, you know, solid woman. I want to thank her, you know, for you know, everything that she said about the show. I truly appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Again,
she
I want to thank her.
You, by
she's
way.
Phenomenal. I can tell. Listen, I hear what you're saying. You know, us running the ball, effectively, I think is going
to
be, you know, very, very huge, especially to keep the Rams honest. Because again, everyone talks about Aaron Donald, and I get it. He's phenomenal. He's probably, like you said, he's the best nose tackle in the game, right? But they also got Brockers. They also got guys like Floyd. They also got, you know, Young as well. They got guys that can get after it too. So you have to keep them honest. And I think part of what we have to do to keep them honest, we have to show them that if you stack the box, because they will stack the box if we just run the ball all day, if you stack the box against us, we'll be able to make the throws. So I think that we have to work, and again, running the ball effectively is part of it, but working play action in, you know, getting some misdirections, changing things up, especially tempo, I think is very big too. We've got to up the tempo of our offensive game plan. If you got to run a little bit of no huddle just to keep guys in the game a little bit longer, throw them off, do some different things. We saw some success with that, you know, at certain parts of the last season as well, and then they went away from it. I think that will help us. But if we come out and just try to stay stagnant, we're going to get crushed. And I'll agree with you.
Well,
if we come out and do the basic Adam Gase thing, we'll lose, hands down.
I would agree with you. The thing is that we're extremely limited everywhere. So, like, I would line up 9 guys, a running back, not old Frank Gore. And I can't believe that he lines up a 37-year-old running back after we had the best game without Frank Gore, right? Rushing. We had the best game with two minor players. Remember, we couldn't even use Le'Veon Bell. And you put Denzel Mims. That's it. And you run a very I'm just telling you, I want you to go back to the 1990 season of the Giants, and I want you to watch them after Phil Simms got hurt. People don't they underestimate the greatness of the 1990 Giants. They won this Super Bowl against some of the greatest teams in the history of football with the backup running back and the backup quarterback. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, this team here was like I told you, you know, it's, oh, I don't want to say that word because my wife told me not to curse.
Please don't curse on my show. We don't do that.
Right. We don't. So it's about knocking somebody down on the floor and knocking their in the dirt. You got what I said?
Yeah.
Knocking their in the dirt.
Yeah.
Then you make a couple big plays with Mims, and this game, if the Jets have a chance to win, it would be like 16-13. That's the only way. And with the Rams offense, I'm going to give you this. Jared Goff is Mitchell Trubisky on a better team. Okay.
Ooh.
That's his level.
Okay. That's your take.
Okay. He's Jared Goff.
That's your take. I respect it.
He's Mitchell Trubisky on a better team. Okay.
When you look at this defensively, when you look at this defensively, because you bring up Jared Goff, and you know, I was looking at the same situation. I think he's a little better than that, but I respect your take. I think a big key is us getting pressure on Goff. That's a big key. But when you look at our linebacking core, because we don't have a pass rusher, on one guy I thought we were kind of close to being a pass rusher, Jordan Jenkins, he's go down. He hasn't had big success this year. How do you think we get pressure on Goff then? Would you be interested in sending blitzes? Do you think that just Quinnen Williams on the line is enough? Are you just trusting his disruption to cause these issues? How do you think we get to Goff to create, you know, those Trubisky-like mistakes?
Well, Quinnen Williams has been the best defensive player on our team. You know, this is the season that we expected of him 2 years ago. So I'll give him all props. It's like Leonard Williams on the Giants because I'm both a Giants and Jets fan. Don't argue with me about it. So I'll give this with Greg Williams. You have to blitz him. You have to go all out. If you're going to make a mistake, make it big, okay?
Mm.
So, yeah, we're going to have to be uber aggressive on him. We're going to have to change up the coverages quite a bit. And at the end of the day, we have to make this an ugly game, 13-9.
Mm.
If we're going to win this, it's going to be like 13-9. It's not going to be anywhere close to what we saw when they played the Raiders. That was a game that blew. We should have won that game. And Greg Williams deserved to be fired. But that Greg Williams defense up until that last play gave us the opportunity. But if they score 20 points, we lose.
Wow. Okay. All right. We'll get, before I let you go, can you give me your final score prediction for this game?
It's like 40-13.
Okay.
We're going to get slaughtered.
All right.
But my wife is going to make me watch it. And she wants to send out a shout out to you. She loves you, man. She loves you. You know, I told you, I grew up on the Lower East Side of New York. She grew up in the Bronx, and you remind me of us. So stay strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for calling in. And again, thank your wife for all of her support. She's phenomenal. Thank her as well. You have a good night, my friend.
Oh, you too, Joe.
All right, have a good one. Phenomenal call. Phenomenal call from a great Jets fan. I'm going to keep hitting these lines. But let me tell you, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I know a lot of people say, hey, Joe, you're really positive. I am positive about the football team, but I'm extremely realistic, okay? I don't live with green goggles on. I don't, you know, run around here thinking that we're going to, you know, win a Super Bowl. No. This team is bad. This team is real bad. But, you know, you gotta look for wins where you can. You got to find ways. That's why we play on Sundays, you know. You got to try to do whatever you can and put the team in the best position. So we'll see what happens. But, again, I want to thank that caller for calling in. And, again, I want to thank his wife for all the support as well. Phenomenal, phenomenal. So I'm going to keep going with these callers, but I'm going to get to the chat just really, really quickly. You know, we got some guys, the savages in the chat getting after it. Brian Scannelberry in the chat says, besides Trevor with the first pick, who do you want to see the Jets use the second pick on? You know, that's a little bit further ahead, but I'm big on offensive linemen. Everyone knows that I have a plan to move the first-round pick, but if you're forcing me to go with Trevor, I think our second first-round pick should definitely be used on an offensive lineman or even utilized to trade down. That's another one of my ideas, too, is taking that second pick and trading down and trying to net more capital so that we can continue to build this football team. And I think that that's a take not a lot of people are looking at. And I have quite a bit of takes. And I've let them go here and there, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, salute to everybody, you know, that's in the chat. Salute to B. Strickland. I see you in there as well. Salute to you, my friend. Welcome to the show. Angel Reed in the chat says, Gore up the middle 35 times at almost 40 years old. I'm shocked. And the last caller brought that up as well. I'm shocked that he is I'm shocked that they're still running him like he's a 22-year-old running back. But, you know, when you have an incapable, offensive mind like Adam Gase, what more do you want? You know, he's an idiotic head coach that should have never been hired here. And we're seeing, you know, the issues that we have coming from him. Again, if you want to call in, it is 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. Call in and talk to me about, you know, our upcoming game against the Rams. I know it's tough being a Jets fan right now, but do not call into my show and curse. I'm telling you, you curse on my show, I will get you out of here fast. Okay. Faster than Adam Gase can call a dive play with Frank Gore. That's fast. That's fast. That's fast. Faster than the Jets offensive line can let up a sack. That is fast. That's fast. That's fast. That's fast. So we're going to get back to these callers. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let my guy Steve, man. I want to talk to Steve. Steve, welcome to the show, my friend. Give me your thoughts on the Jets going into this Rams game. How are you feeling about this football team right now, my friend?
Well, first of all, Joe, it's great. It's great to hear from you again, man. You know, I love talking to you. Here is the thing. You know, back this was a long time ago back then. But here, unfortunately, Joe, I said this once, and I'm going to say this again because this happened when we played against Kansas City back in October. Unfortunately, Joe, tomorrow we're going to die tomorrow. I'm really sorry to tell you this, but we're going to die tomorrow. We are going
The Rams are going to
probably annihilate us because they are so much more of a talent than we are. I mean, the Rams are a complete different football team than we are. I mean, because look at this thing with the Rams. I mean, we got okay. Let's start off by talking about their team. You know, listen. Jared Goff, who is their quarterback, don't get me wrong, he is a very good quarterback, and I do respect of what he has done. But, I mean, he's not a top running quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson are. He is a good quarterback. But what Jared Goff has is playmakers, such as Tyler Higbee, Cooper Kupp. He's got a good running game in Cam Akers. I mean, The Rams are a good football team, and ever since Sean McVay got hired to be the Rams head coach, that he has completely turned that team and that franchise around. Like, he is the reason why they are in that situation today. Now, the thing is also too is of going into this game against the Rams too is also how good their defense is. They have the number one nose tackle in the league in Aaron Donald. And my God, he is the best defensive player in the league. I mean, Quinn Williams, he's like a mini-me version of Aaron Donald. But no one is Aaron Donald, okay? And then also on their defensive side of the ball, as you said, Joe, they got very good pass rushers. And, of course, they have that really, really good cornerback who is the most trash-talking cornerback in the league in Jalen Ramsey. I mean, it's just – this is going to be – I think this is going to be a long day for the Jets.
Yeah. Listen, to you, listen, you're already starting off hot. You're bringing a lot of fire, and I hear you. But do you think that the Jets will be able to run the football effectively against them? I know they got a lot of guys out there, but I think running the football effectively will really be able to even this game out. Do you think we'll be able to do that? Do you think we'll be able to put the hands, put the ball in the hands of our young running backs and allow them to make plays for us?
Well, first of all, maybe that could happen unless Frank Gore runs up the middle.
Oh, my God.
No, let me just tell you something.
Frank Gore
Joe,
up the middle 40
Joe,
times, I'm done.
Joe,
if Adam Gase does that, Steve, I'm telling you, I'm going to blow a gasket, dude. I'm going to blow a gasket.
Oh, no, no,
if
please,
Adam Gase
Joe,
runs Frank Gore up the middle 40 times against the Rams, I'm going to blow a gasket. I'm going to lose it.
Oh, my God. No, Joe.
I'm going to lose it, Steve.
Joe, let me just tell you something right now. Listen,
lose it.
I do like Frank Gore, and I have respect for him of what he does. And I said this before, and I'll say this again. When he does retire, he is going to go into the Hall of Fame when he does retire. But the thing is, Joe, you got to let the younger running backs get more reps, like Ty Johnson and Josh Adams did. The only reason why they were able to get reps in that game against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago was because remember, Frank Gore ended up leaving the game with a concussion. I mean, listen, that was the only reasons why. And Gore wasn't there. The Jets had their best running game in that game. They ran over 200 yards against that Raiders defense. But the thing is, though, just going back to this game, it's just I think it's going to be a long day for Sam and the offense. And, Joe, before we continue talking about this team, there is something I want to say to you really quickly. Joe, I understand we're not at the offseason just yet, but I'm going to let you tell you something right now. Earlier today, I watched the Clemson-Notre Dame game, okay? And Trevor Lawrence kid is doing, I am telling you, Joe, if we end up with the number one pick, you can't say no to this guy. You can't say no to him. Listen, I know you love Sam, and I love Sam too, but Joe, you can't say no to this guy. I'm sorry, Joe.
Can't say no?
You can't. You can't say no to Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Listen,
so
Steve,
go ahead.
Listen. I mean, we could talk about different things. I don't want to go too far ahead, but listen, I hear you. And I get a lot of calls. And again, I've had, you know, my take is pretty well known. You know, I make sure everybody understands, you know, my take and how I feel. Look, I get it. He looks very, very good and phenomenal, but I think that we have so many needs, Steve. I think you can say no if the haul is enough to turn your entire franchise around. If you can get 3 first-round picks and, you know, two of every single mid-round pick, you know, going forward, I don't know how you just look at that and turn it down, especially with as great as he is, right? He does not play corner, does not play pass rusher. He's not a wide receiver. He doesn't block for himself. You know, these are issues that we have going forward. And again, I think that he is phenomenal. I never, like, let me make it clear for everybody that listens to me, regardless of whether you listen to me from, I do not dislike Trevor Lawrence. I think he's very good. My problem is this football team, I do believe in Sam Darnold to a point, but I think that this football team is horrific. Like, if you look at our talent, horrific.
No,
and my problem is this, is that people think that Sam Darnold comes in here, right? People think that Trevor Lawrence is going to come in here and just throw to himself. And that's not going to happen. We don't have, like, enough weapons. We don't have enough anything. So if I can turn this team around, and again, I've made my plan very well known, right? Like, because I like to get my takes out there early. If you target the Bears and they're willing to give you Allen Robinson and 2 first-round picks and a boatload of other picks after that, you saw so many issues that guess what? You still have enough capital to save yourself if Sam Darnold is not the guy. You can still go get the next guy. Still.
Okay.
And I understand that he looks phenomenal, but so did Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz looked phenomenal in college. They're benching him. So did Marcus Mariota. I remember he was phenomenal. People said that he was a can't miss. He's going to change your franchise. Where's he at? Winston, the same thing. I heard the same thing about those guys. And I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to be some gigantic bust, but I am saying, like, everybody's penciling him in like he's going to be, you know, this savior. Like, he's for sure just going to be a for savior in this league. And I'm telling you, okay, well, look, there's also other options for this football team. We are void of talent. We're void of talent. Void. And if you guys are talking about relying on free agency, you know, I see people in the chat talk about relying on free agency. Let me tell you something. We've tried to do that before. We've tried that in the last however many years. I remember when we drafted Sam Darnold. People said, if you draft Sam Darnold, free agents will come here. They did not. As a matter of fact, we got stiffed by more free agents than actually came here. We have notoriously been used by free agents for bargaining chips. We have notoriously been used by free agents to up their stock, and then they go elsewhere. They do not come here. Do I have to remind you guys about players like, you know, Anthony Barr, guys like him? You know, so you have to start looking at other options. I think, again, I think that Trevor Lawrence is a phenomenal player, but I also think you have to look at other ways to build this football team. Because if you get stuck on him and him alone, especially when the haul that you can net from could turn your entire franchise around – I don't know how you look away from that. I really don't.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, Joe, you did make a very good point. But this is what also needs to happen as well. See, the thing is now, I know we're not at the offseason just yet because we still have to play this game and two more games left of the season. But Joe,
go ahead. You didn't open the can.
Listen,
go ahead.
Joe, let me just now say something. This is what also has to happen. I mean, the first move that needs to happen in the offseason is Adam Gase being fired. I mean, listen, Adam Gase should have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said...
Now you're talking that talk. Go ahead.
A lot of people even said that, you know, during the week, you know, when Adam Gase said that, you know, people are saying, okay, now Christopher Johnson has just made that job a lot easier to fire him after the season. I mean, listen... It's just that's going to be the other thing, though. We have to get the right head coach to build the team in the right way. That is the major thing we have to do. Like, look, like, listen. If you're watching bits and pieces of the Bills tonight, the Bills are on their way to win the AFC East Championship for the first time since 1995. And do you Jet fans want to know why? Listen. I remember when a lot of people talked about when the Bills made a big mistake of drafting Josh Allen. And, Joe, listen, the way how he's been built around that football team has been phenomenal. And, Joe, I'm sorry. I remember in the past when you said, when you called Josh Allen a trash quarterback, he's not a trash quarterback anymore because he was built the right
Wait a second. Listen, hold on a second, Steve. I hear you. Let me. I did say those things, and I'm still saying those things. Yeah, I did. I called him a glorified running back. I said he was trash. I absolutely said those things. But I think what people are forgetting is Josh Allen didn't just and this is what I think Jets fans have issues with how like to build quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen didn't just wake up and one day and like raise himself off the floor and go, I'm going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. No, he was coached up, right? He's been coached. If you watch any of these games, the first thing they'll start talking about are how his coaching staff has helped him literally refocus his mechanics. They rebuilt his mechanics. That's why he's getting the ball out faster. You look at his throwing motion from this year versus last year, it's completely different. That's why he's getting the ball out faster. It's the small things like that. We don't have that here. As a matter of fact, Adam Gase and Darryl Loggins literally said they did not want Sam Darnold to get a QB coach because they didn't want another voice in the room. I'm not lying about that. You can look it up. So when you do things like that and you hinder your young quarterback, on top of the fact that they went and got Josh Allen weapons, can you please name a wide receiver that we have as good as Diggs? Hell, do we have a wide receiver as good as John Brown or Cole Beasley?
No.
We don't have a running game. We don't have anything. We don't have an offensive. We don't even have a good offensive coordinator. We have nothing. And that's what I'm telling you. That's why, again, I talk about trading that pick, because if you look at what the Bills did, they did exactly what we should have done. They built around Allen in his rookie year deal, and they built around him adequately. Those players that they got that they put together, go look through their drafts. they drafted different guys. I think they drafted a bunch of offensive linemen one year and went and got a bunch of other guys to pair with him. Like, come on. That's why he's good. He's not good because he's out there just doing his own thing. He's good because of all these factors. The coaching is there. They utilize his running skill, right, within the offense. That's why he rushed for that long-ass touchdown he had today. Because they're utilizing those things. They're allowing him to do that within the scheme. We're not doing that. Here's what we did. We drafted a quarterback, right, and everybody was hyped about him. We saddled him with the QB killer, right after coming off of Todd Bowles, who was horrific. And then we put him in an offense that he does not fit in, that we all know does not fit his skill set. Anybody that was watching Adam Gase before he got here told you. I told y'all that. I told y'all that this offense is not going to be built for him. He's not going to have success in it. And that's why I never wanted him here. And then we did nothing to truly help him offensively. That's what we did. While the Bills were drafting, signing guys like Diggs and putting weapons around Josh Allen. That's why Josh Allen is good. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's better than he was before, but there's factors into why he's good. But go ahead, Steve.
No, okay.
I'll let you go ahead and go before I fire.
Now, Joe.
Go ahead.
So, Joe, now, because this is this is the other thing that also needs to happen. Now, listen, I do have all the trust still in Joe Douglas. Now, I do think Joe Douglas can build this team the right way. Listen, when Joe Douglas became the general manager, you know, after when Mike Maccagnan left, because Mike Maccagnan, as you said, Joe, was another one of the reasons why the Jets are in this mess of a situation. Because he didn't honestly know how to draft right. The biggest problem that he had was he didn't know how to draft or pick up offensive linemen in free agency. Because remember, when Maccagnan would pick up offensive linemen in free agency, they were not in their prime anymore, okay? I mean, they were always banged up and hurt. That was the other thing. See, the one thing I do trust in Joe Douglas was that he did get offensive linemen some help. I mean, listen, the offensive line this year has been shaky. I mean, but I think Connor McGovern is a good player. I mean, he's been off a little bit at times this year. And listen,
he's horrible.
Mekhi Becton.
He's horrible.
Mekhi Becton was. What, you don't like McGovern?
No, he's horrible. He's horrible. Like, he's bad. He's bad. Our guards are bad. He's bad, and Fant is bad. They're bad. They're bad.
The only one who's been good on this offensive line this year was the player he picked in the first round, which was Mekhi Becton.
That's a fact.
But then a lot of people are saying, why is Cameron Clark not getting activated? Like, where
That's
is Cameron Clark? Where is he? I don't understand why. And that's another thing. Adam Gase is, I think this is something that has to frustrate Joe Douglas, is that Adam Gase is not letting the players, besides Mekhi Becton and Denzel Mims, is not letting Joe Douglas's draft picks get a chance to play. Adam Gase is not having that. And I think that's something that has to frustrate Joe Douglas.
Joe Douglas, you know, that's the problem with us. You know, we can talk about the issues and all the issues that we have, but our ownership is the main issue. The reason is the reporting structure.
Just,
you got Joe Douglas and Adam Gase reporting on the same footing. Joe Douglas should have the power to go down there and say, listen, Adam, I drafted this guy and you're going to play him. And let that be that. The coach should report to the GM and the GM should report to the owner. That is not the way it works here. It's not the way it works, and that's one of the main issues. But, Steve, I got to keep going to these calls. I got quite a bit, man. Before I let you go, give me your final score prediction for the Jets against the Rams.
Well, most importantly, Joe, we're going to talk about this more in the offseason, man. Don't worry. I know we got off the topic tonight. But unfortunately,
go ahead, man.
The Jets are unfortunately going to go 0-14 after tomorrow as soon as 7 o'clock hits Eastern Standard Time, 4 o'clock your time there because you're out in California. The final score tomorrow, it's going to be – I'm going to go with 30-7 Rams tomorrow.
Okay. 30-7 Rams. I respect it, Steve. Listen, Steve, thank you for calling in. It was great to speak with you, my friend. Next time I have a show, I want to hear from you, all right? You have a good night.
Nope. No problem, man. Bye-bye.
All right, see you. Listen, Steve calling in with the fire. I'm going to get to everybody on the lines. I know my lines is lit up. Anytime that Trevor Lawrence is – mention. People definitely want to talk to me, and I love it. I'm going to get to everybody, but please be patient. And, I'm pretty sure I have some new callers as well. if you call into my show, you know, it's great to speak to Jets fans. Hell, it's great to speak to every fan. You know, no matter what matter, everybody is welcome here. Do not call into my show cursing or I will get you out of here. You know, a couple curse words, you're gone. You know, especially depending on how bad it is. You are gone. I will get you out of here faster than Mike Maccagnan can bust out a draft. That's fast. That's the Christian Hackett. All right. Enough with the jokes. Okay. Enough with the jokes. I'm going to go to Val. Again, everybody be patient. I will get everybody on. I thought that was funny, me personally. I thought it was funny. But I'm going to go to Val. My guy, Val. Val, how are you feeling?
Joe.
How are you doing, first off? And I want to thank you for calling
in.
Secondly,
good,
how are you feeling about the Jets going into this Rams game?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. And how am I feeling about this game? Man, it's about to be a crushing game. Man, this
okay.
is going to be a hard 2 weeks of us going against Seattle and then now going against the Rams. So we are definitely going to be into a lot of stuff. Man.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. When you look at the situation
yeah.
that we are in, ugh. It's bad, man. But I want to start on the offensive side of the ball with you. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, Mims coming back. He's going to be on the field this week. We know he was dealing with a family issue last week. How
mm-hmm.
are you feeling about that? And what are your expectations of him in this football game? Because, you know, he may be matched up against Ramsey.
Man, see, that's exactly why I really want to see, you know, I want to see Denzel Mims get, you know, tested. I want to see him go against, like, an elite cornerback. I wouldn't say he's, like, elite, but he's very good. He's a very good cornerback. He's going to get in your face. I want to see how Denzel Mims matches up against him, so I would definitely look forward to that, you know. But other than that, you know, I don't know if he's going to get the ball because, you know, who's the play caller, you know. As soon as he gets a couple
yeah.
of shine and then, you know, we just go away from him. So I really don't know. But I really want to see how Denzel Mims is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in seeing what's going on there as well. Because like you said, he's gonna be facing one of the best corners in the game. And this guy is going to get
yeah.
all in his face. I'm talking about all in his chest. So we're going to see how you know, react to that kind of pressure. And, again, he's a young wide receiver. So, you know, there's still time to grow in things. But I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see, you know, what happens. But even, you know, staying on the offensive side of the ball, do you think the Jets will be able to run the ball effectively against the Rams? I think that this is paramount for us to do. Because everybody's talking about how we're going to get blown out, which is, you know, understandable, especially when you look at this Rams squad. But I think running the football effectively and getting us started out that way will really open things up for us. Do you agree with that?
Right.
And do you think we'll be able to do that?
Well, what I would say is, like, we have a future running back in Frank Gore that's about to get this 5-year extension. So we might as well. We might be getting, you know. No, but to be serious, man. To be serious, I think we do have to get
God.
The young guys involved as well, too. You know, it's going to be hard. Like I said, the offensive line, like I said, Sam Darnold, he runs to his left side for a reason because that right line is basically open season for anybody to come through. So that's going to be the
yeah.
problem. So we're going to have to, you know, if we don't run the ball, then they're going to just play nothing but coverage. And, you know, Sam Darnold's going to force a couple of footballs, a couple of throws, and it's going to be an interception. So we have to balance it out as much as possible. And we have to, you know,
yeah.
at least, you know, get that defense tired. You know what I'm saying? So we have to run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at us
yep.
defensively, though, I'm very concerned, bro. I'm concerned about this Rams wide receiver court series business. Like Cooper Kupp,
oh, yeah,
Woods, Reynolds. How worried are you about that matchup with our young corners? You know, you look at Hall, he's, you know, he's been cooked by a couple wide receivers out there. How worried are you about him in coverage and also Bless Austin being attacked too? Because we've seen him have kind of an up and down season as well.
Yeah. I mean, it comes to a point that, you know, this is probably his fourth week actually being a starter. So I'm going to give him some slack because he hasn't really been playing as much because he was injured, like, from the beginning of the season. So he didn't really get that much coaching. So you remember, he's just coming from college. So he's just getting
yeah.
going into there. So I'm going to have to give him some, you know, some length and stuff like that. Hopefully he comes around. I did like him under Greg Greg Williams. I did like him under Greg Williams is because, you know, Greg Williams was really getting at it. And you've seen the difference from last week. I'm not going to say, like, everything was peaches. I'm like, everything was perfect. But you've seen people was really fighting, you know what I'm saying, on defense. And then you seen last week, everybody was lackluster. It was like, it was really no fight. So I don't know, man. I hope so because, you know, I hope Paul comes around and actually, you know, steps up. And, you know, this motivates him to actually get better.
Yeah. I hope it does as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also, I definitely want to get into Adam Gase, you know, saying he apologized to the owners and stuff like that. Yeah, so when are we going to get our – so we're going to get our apology next week. So Sam Darnold was last week. Owners is this week. And then so the fans are going to get an apology next week. Because we definitely need
I'm thinking, man.
I mean, you gave us 2 weeks of – I mean, 2 years of terrible football. You got to apologize for us. You got to apologize for you getting interviewed and trying to reach out to the Jets and saying that you're going to turn this franchise around when you was lying to us the whole time. So, yeah, we definitely need an apology because we've been getting tortured ever since he's been a head coach. And like I said, he's making Todd Bowles look like a great head coach. So, yeah, which he was average, you know, but that's hard to do. Minute. Hello? I can't even hear. Hello?
I apologize, folks. Something is going on with my system here. One second. I'm going to continue trying to fix it. Just one second, folks. Hold on.